I'm just going out on a limb this morning. So we've been talking, if you're visiting with us here this morning, we've been talking about this place of the wilderness for the last several weeks, maybe 6 weeks or so. So I don't know if this resonates with anybody or not, but I would like, I would like for us to just pray with one another. And so if there are folks whose landscape of life presently looks barren, difficult, never-ending, I don't know what that wilderness looks like for you, but I want to ask you to risk in this moment vulnerability. I don't know what God has for you. I just feel like God has something for you. So if what I'd like to do is this, if you are in a spot of wilderness, what I'd like to invite you to do is just kind of raise your hand, and collectively, as you see hands raised around you, I would like us to move about in the space this morning and just gather around one another. Whosever hand is raised, if they want to share a bit, let them do that. If not, make sure you ask their name if you don't know them. Just pray with them for a few moments. And then we'll see where it goes from there. I'm sorry, I'll invite Brian just to play as we do this. But is there anybody who's kind of in the wilderness spot who would like some people, brothers and sisters, just to gather around them? Anybody, just put your hand up. Be attentive to hands that are around you. I know this is a risk of vulnerability. I know it's not comfortable, but this is the place and this is a space where you can do that. So if I'm missing the mark there in any way, which I totally could be, I see some folks moving about. If there's somebody that's on your heart that you want to pray for, I invite you to find that person too. If there are those of you who feel just in some way that you want to respond to God this morning, this is not something that we typically do, but I would just invite you to come up here if you want to kneel at the front and just pray as an act of response to God. I would invite you to do that. There's no agenda right now. We gather week in, week out to meet with God. And so whatever that looks like in these moments for you, let's provide that space for one another. I just want to continue to encourage you with the words of Scripture from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy milk and wine without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways higher, my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields its seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, it will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve my purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Thank you. In college, I was infamous amongst my peers in my ministry for doing this. When I didn't know what to do. That's what I have for you right now. So what I wanted to share with you this morning is all about the presence of God, and it's interesting how often we can talk about things in an objective sense and hold them at arm's length without actually bringing them close to us. It's a danger that we have in faith because we place so much emphasis on learning the right things and believing the right things that we might have all of the cognitive knowledge in the world. You might be able to give every correct answer to every question that is asked of you regarding the Christian faith or about Jesus, but that doesn't translate all the time into it being a part of our soul. And the Spirit is the great translator, taking these wonderful and beautiful words that have been written and recorded over millennia, have been lived by people, have been embodied in the person of Jesus, and the Spirit translates it to us somehow in some miraculous way. And this morning, I want to invite us to consider the connection between what we think we know and knowing it at a much deeper level. This is not the sermon. I really don't know where I'm going. But I feel like there's an invitation here for us this morning. Let me just speak very generally. Caleb, could you bring up those three images for me? What I wanted to talk about, and maybe we'll do so later, this is from Exodus chapter 19 and following. But God wants to be present with you. God wants to be present with his people. And so he reveals himself in a bunch of different ways throughout Scripture, ultimately in the person of Jesus, but as we're thinking about the wilderness experience this morning and how God reveals himself in the wilderness, there's these three images that come out in the book of Exodus, and one is from Exodus 19 and 20 in Mount Sinai in the fire and the cloud, and God is like this roaring champion on top of the mountain. And for some of us, that is the image and the picture of God that we have, even though we don't want to hold it or we don't have it. It's the image that we have in our mind of God who is more distant, who is unapproachable. And that image that's given it in Sinai is not wrong. God is majestic. God is holy. We use that kind of word. God is other. But that is not how God desires to remain. I mean, that is a truth about God. And I want that to be a truth about God because I don't want God to be some God I can manipulate into doing what I want to or some God that I can completely understand. I don't want to be able to fit God in my own little box, nor do I want you to be able to fit God in your own little box. I want a God who is beyond my imagination. And I think God reveals himself in that way at times. And so there's this majesty that's revealed on the mountain, but then there's also this desire that comes a few chapters later in chapter 25 about these instructions being made for this second place, this beautiful, it might not be beautiful to you, but it was to the people of Israel, this place called the tabernacle. And God's presence in our lives isn't just this overarching truth of this majestic God that we cannot understand, But in this context, in the wilderness, God also moves from the mountain and confines himself to a specific place. I think that's pretty amazing that God, because he desires him to be with us, makes himself quite small and gives us instructions on how to participate with God and build this place where God's presence will dwell among us. And so there's artisans who are given instructions within the people of Israel to build this thing. They're invited to, you are invited to build a place within your life for the presence of God to dwell. It's not just about the majestic God of all of creation and of all the universe. It is also about the reality of that God taking up residence in you. You are invited, just like Israel was invited to construct this tabernacle. Paul translates this imagery in his writings, and he reminds us that we're now the temple, we're now the tabernacle of God, and in us the Spirit of God dwells. That is the point, is for the Spirit of God to dwell in us. And the invitation for each one of you, this is not a guilt-induced invitation. This is the invitation to live as you were created to live. Every desire that you have will not be met or not be fulfilled until you find your desire within God himself. And each one of us are invited within our own particular ways that are considerate of our own particular lives and dispositions and gifts and personalities to construct tabernacles in our own selves, in our own lives, to house the presence of God. Because God is not satisfied to be on a mountain and to be an idea and to be something that you see from a distance. God desires to be living with and in you. But then there's this third image of the calf that we find in Exodus chapter 32. And what's interesting about the imagery of the calf, a lot of people think that the calf is actually what the people worship. So when Moses is up on the mountain the second go around, after he's brought down the Ten Commandments, he goes up again to receive the instructions for the tabernacle, which is so interesting because he's up, he descends, he gives the Ten Commandments. This is the way for the people to live in 10 simple ways because God wants the people to be able to live in his presence, 10 simple ways to be able to live in the presence of God. And then God calls Moses back up because God wants to give him the instructions on how to build the tabernacle so the presence of God might dwell with them. So the tabernacle is not built yet. Moses is receiving the instructions. One of the first instructions being to invite all the people to bring their gold, to bring offerings to God for the tabernacle to be built. So the people are supposed to participate in this. They're supposed to participate in the building of the temple, the tabernacle of God that will house the presence of God with them. And while Moses is on the mountain receiving these instructions from God, one of the first things of which was to bring the gold freely. No pressure. Nobody is ticking off any boxes to see how much you bring. As he's inviting and giving the instructions to invite the people to be a part of constructing this tabernacle to house the presence of God, the people are on the ground, and they're bringing gold, but they're constructing a calf. And the calf is not actually the object of worship. They're not bowing down and worshiping the calf. So in the tabernacle, there's the Ark of the Covenant, and over the Ark of the Covenant are the cherubim. And so cherubim are these angelic figures, and they have their wings outstretched towards one another. And above that, it was understood that the presence of God dwelled. And so it wasn't the golden calf they were worshiping. They actually thought that above this calf, that same God who delivered them from Egypt was dwelling. But it was the calf that they constructed so they can manipulate the presence of God. In all of our lives, every one of us here, myself included, there are counterfeits to God's presence. One of the counterfeits to God's presence can simply be religion. Ticking off the boxes, doing the right things, and remaining empty inside. We can construct our own calves, our own things that we think house the presence and the Spirit of God, but they're counterfeit. And if there's an invitation for us this morning, I feel like the invitation is, and maybe the word is, that for those of you who are hungry and thirsty, God wants to give you God's presence. God wants to dwell in you. This is what you and I are created for. Of all the things that we do, we are meant to do them filled with the Spirit of God. You're meant to be fathers and mothers who are filled with the Spirit of God. You're meant to be teachers who are filled with the Spirit of God. You're meant to be grandparents who are filled with the Spirit of God. Each of us are meant to reflect and mediate the presence of God to the world. I do want to go into Exodus chapter 19 really quick and just read these things for you. This is at Mount Sinai. This is what God says to the people. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you out on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Priests were meant to be mediators between God and man. The church is later on called, in Peter, called the same thing, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You and I are not only meant to be filled with the Spirit of God, but we are meant to mediate the presence of God to the world around us. This is, friends, this is a huge task. Paul also talks about being the aroma of Christ. Like, there is an aroma that you and I can give out. There's an aroma that we are giving out whether we know it or not. It is either the presence of Christ emanating out of us, or it's something else. But if we want to be fully alive as men and women, if we want to be living with purpose in the world, it does not happen apart from the Holy Spirit. Because to live as we were meant to live means that we live with the presence of God dwelling in us. And to live with purpose means that we give off the aroma of Christ wherever we go. And I just feel like the invitation very simply for us this morning. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know exactly what that looks like for me. But is simply to receive the presence of the Spirit. And so I'd like to pray for us. And as we, and Brian, can you bring me that microphone so I can serve communion to. Thanks. The Spirit is mysterious, but there is a tangible way that we'll participate in communion, to just open our hearts, I guess, to receive whatever God has for us. But I want to pray for us, as Brian's team, they'll lead us in just a moment. But I want to pray for us. And I would just invite you, if if the invitation is to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and that is something that you want to receive as we're here this morning, I just invite you to hold your hands in front of you, outstretched and open. God, I thank you that you come to us and desire to dwell in these broken lives. It is just amazing. The God of the universe wants to dwell with each one of us. And God, I pray for those who are just hungry and thirsty for more of you, but really don't know how to express that or what that even means. Lord, I pray that in these moments, as we're gathered together this morning, that there would just be a receiving of some sort of your Spirit and of your presence with them. God, in these moments too, I pray that you would just gently convict us of the counterfeit gods that we have in our lives, the counterfeit presences, the things that we think are going to make us feel alive or full of purpose, but really are just done so separately from you. Lord, we repent of those things, God. They've not filled us with the life that you want to give. And God, I pray that just in these moments we would exchange and just bring those counterfeits to you and receive, just receive the new life, the breath of your Spirit that you have to give to us. I'll let Pastor Brian lead us here for a few moments, and then I'll come back and we'll lead through and receive communion together. Again, let's just provide space for ourselves to respond, to receive from God this morning.